Sometimes I wish I were an architect so that I could dedicate a building to a person, a superstructure that broke the clouds and continued up into the abyss. And if Bird Box were made of bricks instead of letters, I'd host a ceremony, invite every shadowy memory I have, and cut the ribbon with an axe, letting everyone see for the first time that building's name. It'd be called the Debbie. Mom, Bird Box is for you. 1. Mallory stands in the kitchen, thinking. Her hands are damp. She is trembling. She taps her toe nervously on the cracked tile floor. It is early. The sun is probably only peeking above the horizon. She watches its meager light turn the heavy window drapes a softer shade of black and thinks, "That was a fog." The children sleep under chicken wire draped in black cloth down the hall. Maybe they heard her moments ago on her knees in the yard. Whatever noise she made must have traveled through the microphones, then the amplifiers that sat beside their beds. She looks to her hands and detects the subtlest sheen in the candlelight. Yes, they are damp. The morning's dew is still fresh upon them. Now, in the kitchen, Mallory breathes deep before blowing the candle out. She looks around the small room, noting the rusted utensils and cracked dishes, the cardboard box used as a garbage can, the chairs, some held together by twine. The walls are dirty, dirt from the feet and hands of the children, but older stains too. The bottom of the walls in the hall is discolored, profound purples that have dulled to brown over time. These are blood. The carpet in the living room is discolored too, no matter how hard Mallory scrubs. There are no chemicals in the house to help clean it. Long ago, Mallory filled the buckets with water from the well and, using a suit coat, worked on removing the stains from all over the house. But they refused to go away. Even those that proved less persistent remained, a shadow perhaps of their original size, but still horribly visible. A box of candles hides a blotch in the foyer. The couch in the living room sits at an awkward angle, moved there to shield two blemishes that looked like wolves' heads to Mallory. On the second floor, by the attic stairs, a pile of musty coats conceals purple scratches, embedded deep into the foot of the wall. 10 feet away is the blackest stain in the house. She does not use the far end of the home's second floor because she cannot bring herself to cross it. This was once a nice house in a nice suburb of Detroit. Once it was family ready and safe. Only half a decade ago, a real estate agent would have proudly showed it off. But this morning the windows are covered with cardboard and wood. There is no running water. A big wooden bucket sits upon the kitchen counter. It smells stale. There are no conventional toys for the children. Pieces of a wooden chair have been whittled to play the part of little people. Small faces have been painted upon them. The cupboards are bare. There are no paintings on the walls. Wires run from under the back door into the first floor bedrooms, where amplifiers alert Mallory and the children to any sounds coming from outside the house. The three of them live this way. They do not go outside for long periods of time. When they do, they are blindfolded. The children have never seen the world outside their home, not even through the windows, and Mallory hasn't looked in more than 4 years. 4 years. She does not have to make this decision today. It's October in Michigan. It's cold. A 20-mile trip on the river will be hard on the children. They may still be too young. What if one of them were to fall into the water? What would Mallory, blindfolded, do then? An accident, Mallory thinks. How horrible. After all this struggling, all this survival, to die because of an accident.